from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
And now the Chiefs will bring it on an end around to Xavier Worthy at the 20, 15 of the Ravens, 10, 4, touchdown! Kansas City rookie Xavier Worthy on a perfectly executed, well-blocked end around.
Mitch Holthus on the call right here on 96.5 The Fan last night. Welcome in on a Victory Friday. Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. Don't worry, we will talk plenty about the rookie Xavier Worthy.
And I would think so.
Hell of a debut for him. Three touches and every touch mattered in that game for Worthy. He was sensational last night. That particular play we saw. If there was any question still outside of Kansas City in particular, like, oh, that was just combine speed. We saw it in a game against one of the better defenses in football. So we'll give Worthy his props. Also going to hear from him coming up in a bit. But how you guys doing? Feels good?
We're underway, good victory, man. Little more of a sweat than I felt like it should have been for, I thought the Chiefs, after the Ravens' first touchdown, after it was tied up, the Chiefs controlled 90% of that football game. I mean, they were the better team 90% of the entire game, and still a damn sweat at the end. But when you win, I had to feel stressed for a minute before that inevitable victory against a really good team. Then, of course, next week, as we know, as we'll get into that next week, 10 days away from having a chance to go beat Cincinnati again. And so, yeah, I'm feeling pretty good, if we're being honest. Mahomes is still great. He still makes great passes. Worthy seemed pretty good. I mean, you know, hard for me to complain, really.
Well, just NFL-wise, like, I mean, of course.
Decent start. My God, the high drama. They're good at that.
The NFL is king, man. The NFL is king. And last night showed that once again. It was a great game. And, of course, plenty of drama at the end. And, you know, just by an inch of the foot. And as Mahomes kind of joked, if Isaiah Likely was wearing white shoes, maybe the touchdown stands. And we're having a different conversation today because we all know Harbaugh was absolutely going for two. You could already tell because the call was a touchdown originally and they were already keeping the offense on the field. And the way the defense was gassed at that point in time, I'm not so sure if we would have been sitting here, Cody, talking about the Chiefs letting the Ravens come in and steal one, because you're right. Throughout much of the game last night, the Chiefs were in control. They were the better team throughout the entire game, except for really the final, four and a half minutes of the game. Let them off the hook. I mean, there were so many missed opportunities, which is why I feel really good about the offense. We said there was a chance to send a message that, hey, that offense of last year, that is last year. That is over with. And they did that, and they still made mistakes, right? It's game one, and yet you still got a sense that this offense is just so much different. What we wanted to see, whether it was Worthy, Travis Kelce statistically didn't have a big night. He was great blocking and in other aspects helping this team. But in a night last year, if I would have told you Kelce only had like 35 yards or whatever, you would have said, uh-oh, that's...
Oh, no.
It's a grind. That wasn't what it is at all. He had his role. Rashee Rice was incredible. We're going to talk specifically about him a little bit later here in about 30 minutes. But last night, without Hollywood Brown, without Kelce going off, the offense still looked explosive.
Yes.
And that was with a missed, you know, wide open touchdown. Probably would have ended up being a touchdown to Pirine and Isaiah Pacheco. One was on a wheel route and one was kind of off just a ball in the flat.
And those were like, almost plays, right? And you're going to have some of those in a game. Pirine almost always makes that catch, and there was no one in front of him. At least Pacheco, it's like you'd like to see those catches every once in a while down the road this season to know that he's improved as a pass rusher. But, I mean, this all comes down to the final damn play of the game. The Chiefs' defense was gassed. Chris Jones had to come off the field a couple of times. Lamar Jackson was trying to have his moment against Kansas City. Versus last time, it wasn't his moment. It was the Chiefs were in field goal range, and Clyde Edwards-Alaire coughed up the football. So this was a chance to be his moment, his chance, his big scene for the Chiefs, or against the Chiefs, and he throws first. He misses Isaiah likely in the back of the end zone. Like, he had a chance to get a touchdown there. Little long, little tall. Then he said he was throwing to Rashad Bateman, but I don't really care. Zay Flowers is wide open.
The ball was not tipped
in the back of the end zone. Ball was not tipped. Completely misfires, whether he was firing at Bateman or firing at Flowers. And I know that hypothetically in some of those cases, they are supposed to like stop in the zone, and neither guy did, but that's the case. And then he throws a dart to Isaiah Likely, who's out by a damn toe. A toe.
The drama. Love it.
At the end of the game. Well, because you watch it and you're just like, ugh. And you already see Harbaugh going, two. And like, I'll be honest, Derrick Henry did not have a good game. But I think they probably get that two-point conversion. Sounds like you feel the same.
Well, just because
it was a perfect game. It was so much fun.
It had everything you wanted. And had the drama, you get the win, and then you still feel really, really good about where this offense eventually can go. Because we'll get to some of the comments from Ravens players after the game, but that was not the Chiefs' best game either. Like, the Ravens can say it wasn't their best. It sure as hell wasn't the Chiefs' best. Hollywood Brown wasn't playing in the game. As I said, the Chiefs missed a couple potentially wide open touchdowns, but Pirine would have scored a touchdown on that.
Oh, and there was no one.
They will connect on that, whether it's next week against his old team, Drew, or it'll be at some point in a couple of weeks. So that kind of stuff gives me even more hope about where this offense can go. But it was really the perfect opportunity to set the tone for a three-peat campaign. They did that. We all know what happened a year ago where the Chiefs lost by a point and kind of you came in the next day and everybody was in a bad mood and you're wondering, oh my goodness, what's up with this offense and all that. That is not the feeling at all today. I mean, I could tell they were obviously thrilled in the locker room to get the win. And now they get 10 days, as you said, to get set. But the whole game, you tell me you were watching on TV, so I didn't catch the illegal formation stuff as much as you did. Obviously, in the press box, we're seeing it. And of course, there's five illegal formation calls. So I didn't hear how the broadcast was reacting, because next to me was Mac and one of our good old friends was sitting to my left as well. And we were talking just about that. We're like, man, this is like the Juwan Taylor thing all over again from Sunday Night Football or the Thursday Night Football opener. What were they saying on the broadcast? Because in the press box, I was kind of like, oh, this reminds me exactly what we witnessed a year ago.
I didn't like it a year ago. Like, I felt like it's overblown. And I understand you got to be somewhere on the line. Otherwise, a distinct advantage. You would not believe this, but Chris freaking Collinsworth, who, as you recall, definitely from the first game last year, was throwing a full-blown man hissy fit over Juwan Taylor's alignment. I can't believe he keeps doing this. He can't get away with it. This is a crime. He was saying imprison him. Put him in jail for this action. Was so offended that the referees kept calling it on him. Couldn't believe they kept calling on Ron and Stanley. Like, oh, I mean, behold. Why would they do this? I'm like, Chris, you can't have it both ways. You're the person who caused this. Last year, had Chris Collinsworth not made as big of a deal about Juwan Taylor in that game, there is no way they send out the memo to the rest of the teams, hammer Juwan Taylor, hammer the rest of the league, make it this whole big point, make it an off-season point of emphasis. This is your fault, Chris. You don't get this. This is like the classic tweet. You'd be like, me reaping, me sowing. Oh, no. Like, this is what you asked for. You were complaining about the way that these things were being handled, and now you're disappointed they're not being handled the way you want. Oh, I'm sorry. That's the way this works now. I didn't feel bad for Stanley at all.
Well, no, I mean, because we know the spotlight was on Juwan Taylor a year ago and on that Thursday night game. And yes, Chris Collinsworth was a factor in the next week when Juwan Taylor was going up against his old team in Jacksonville and had multiple penalties and got, you know, basically pulled for a drive or whatever it may be. And we know the story of that. So no, I was kind of like, well, we've been here before. And what did people say at that time? Yeah, he had a target on his back, but hey, you need to adjust in game. So the same thing to me applied for Ronnie Stanley. At some point you can get annoyed by the illegal formations, but also you might need to adjust. And so I do not feel bad whatsoever. Now we'll see what the NFL does in games the rest of the weekend. It's the same thing we said last year. But I was interested to see what the broadcast was saying at that point in time, because it didn't faze me as much as it sounded like it fazed people that were watching on TV, and maybe that's because of the Chris Collinsworth angle.
It was the Collinsworth part. The rest of it, I don't care. I don't like when games get muddied up by penalties, because that game in general, there were probably like four holding flags. I thought they could have just kept the damn thing in their pocket. And I mean, two that got called against the Chiefs, and two that got called against the Ravens, and all four of which I would have been fine didn't exist at all. But that's the whole part of it. Like, these games are all so tight. Every NFL game, because like we always want the Chiefs to like get a blowout. We just constantly want them to beat great teams by 25 points. Well, they were 20 points better than the Ravens a huge chunk of last night, but little things go against you. Little things work against you. You don't get that ball to Pirine. You don't go for it on the 4th and 5. Your chances to bury the game don't go away. So the game's got to be a sweat again, like most NFL games against high quality opponents. The biggest thing that came out of that game, and I don't want to make one week an entire judgment of a team. I think, so yesterday I told you I thought the Ravens were the second best team in the AFC. I don't think that anymore. After one football game, I no longer feel that way about the Ravens.
Can we see
I still think they're a very good team, but they changed my opinion more than the Chiefs changed my opinion about them or any individual player. It was the way that they reacted after the game.
Yeah, we're going to get to that.
And combination with the mistakes that they consistently made. And maybe it's just an offseason thing. Game one,
it's game
stuff
one.
Sloppy,
it's
whatever. Chiefs didn't play perfectly clean football either.
I mean, we saw last year the Chiefs week one game against the Lions and all that. So can you at least do me one? Can we at least wait to see what the other AFC teams do before we already after one game say they're not the second best team anymore? Can we at least see what Cincinnati looks like? Can we at least see what Houston looks like?
No.
Can we do that, please? Can we? Monday's overreaction Monday. Isn't that overreaction Friday?
Chiefs play on Thursday, then I just don't think they're the second best team in the AFC. I didn't say they stink.
No, and we'll talk about Lamar and Derrick Henry's usage and everything like that. I know throughout the show today a little bit, but I'm just saying, let's see what the other AFC teams look like before we already say, the Baltimore Ravens just no longer are the second best team in the league. It was not their best game, and a lot of that had to do with the Chiefs defense. A lot of it had to do with play design and getting the Chiefs best and most athletic players in space, and that of course brings us back to Xavier Worthy.
Xavier Worthy, the second time in the end zone in the first game of his career. A 35-yard strike by Mahomes to the Chiefs' first-round draft pick.
That was the touchdown on the busted coverage there by
Baltimore Ravens.
Marlon Humphrey just passed him off, and nobody was there behind. I mean, that was clearly busted coverage. That was one of two touchdowns for the rookie, man. You could not have asked for a better debut if you were someone looking at the draft pick, and maybe you were wondering, all right, is he going to actually fit in right away? Thank you, Buffalo, for the trade. And he was phenomenal last night. And what really is special about last night, I thought, Cody, is it's not like you wake up and you check the box score if you didn't last night and you're like, oh, he had a huge impact on the game. He must touch the ball like seven times. No, three touches. Three touches, but had as big of an impact as anybody in that football game. That's when you know it's special and the talent is special. When you can have three touches and they can script it up, you know, in terms of play design, and he can have that kind of impact.
Really reminded me of Kareem Hunt's debut. Kind of hard to argue that it wasn't like Kareem Hunt's debut, because he is the first rookie to have both a rushing and receiving touchdown in his debut since Kareem Hunt. But to immediately come on the scene, play 68% of the snaps, have two touchdowns, show that explosive speed, show that game-breaking ability, get wide open on a pass and have Mahomes look your way. Yeah, and I got to assume everything we talked about this offense is also true. I think there's a reason why Rashee Rice was just getting to like beat up on linebackers in the middle of the damn field all game. That's because Xavier's on the other side making you think they might go to him. They might go deep to him. They watch the speed. So, yeah, I mean, it is hard to imagine a better debut for Worthy than that. It just is.
And the very first touch in an NFL game, the speed was on display. That's what was exciting too. And that it turns out that was a play that they actually did run in preseason. Listen to Worthy talk about this after the game and how he told Matt Nagy basically, hey, this one's going for a touchdown tonight.
Man, it was crazy. We ran that in the preseason. I fumbled. So, I mean, sure, it was kind of bad. But just being able to, for them to have that trust in me, and I told Coach Nagy, I think this play is going to score, and it happened. So it was just an amazing moment, just my first touch being a touchdown in the field.
When did you tell him that?
We talked about, we had a walkthrough this morning. I told him this morning in the walkthrough.
That just adds to the play to
wow.
me.
Like,
earlier in the day, doing a walkthrough, and he's telling Nagy, oh, we're getting a touchdown this go-around. He fumbles
on
it
that
in the,
play.
He fumbles it in the preseason when it matters most. I mean, that was perfectly executed, one from him, but also you take a look at everybody else down the field. Creed Humphrey destroyed, I think it was a cornerback for the Baltimore Ravens
Creed
on
Humphrey
that play.
Was bullying. They won again on the line of scrimmage.
Big time.
Chris Jones was dominant on the interior, and so was Creed Humphrey on the opposite side. He was great on that screen pass to Noah Gray that got him down to the 2-yard line, too. Creed Humphrey was a man alive yesterday. He was deciding to beat some people up. Do you see his shirt going in?
Yes.
I'm assuming he's going to have 17 of those.
I hope so. I hope so. Did not get a chance to ask him about that, but I...
He wore a shirt going into the game and said, this is my shirt for the Ravens game. Just a black shirt, white print. That's all it said.
Yeah.
So next week, I thought that Kingsley also played pretty well. I mean, he didn't have any he didn't have any rookie moments,
fine.
If you will, yeah.
No, I think you have to be really impressed with the performance from Kingsley. But now the question I think with Worthy is, okay, so was this, well, it was only three touches. What happens when Hollywood Brown's available? You know, that's the exciting part about this, I think, for a lot of Chiefs fans watching the game is, okay, you mentioned the high snap percentage that Worthy had. What happens when Hollywood Brown's available? Because we know they both, at least in terms of stretching the field, have the ability to do that. But that play on the touchdown on the reverse, that was a play that we had seen from Mecole Hardman many, many times in his career.
Sure, and it
basically
worked sometimes.
Yeah, but in the speed is the biggest difference there. Mecole Hardman was also very quick, but not to this extent. If you're Mecole Hardman, you were watching that play, basically that was a play that used to be designed for you. Yet anytime there's reverse jet, you know, touch pass or whatever, those are all going to Xavier Worthy now.
You think so?
Those are all his. Those are all his. We will see that multiple times throughout this season.
Now, there's still a lot. What's fun about Xavier is he showed up big. He had this magical moment. He had his two touchdowns. But we didn't see him, like, show a compliment of skills where you're like, okay, every week I'm getting that now. Okay, I'll relax. I loved what I saw. But one was a broken pass play, and one was just like, I'm a better athlete than the rest of you.
But I think that's going to be a lot of it. I mean,
oh, that'll be the early part. Why not?
I mean, he's not a possession receiver, so in the underneath routes are going to be, you know, primarily Rashee Rice and Travis Kelce and some other guys. It's going to be on design plays, and it's also going to be on some opportunities deep down the field. And yeah, you're right. One was a busted coverage that led to the touchdown. But as they get more and more trust with him, I mean, you want to talk about confidence for Worthy, but also confidence if you're Andy Reid in terms of calling plays.
You just
plays.
Find a way to get him a football.
Yeah. I mean, and
that's what it is.
That's the biggest thing, is the first game to have basically a flawless performance if you're Xavier Worthy. I think it's just massive. If you're someone that's hoping that maybe they're willing to increase his opportunities earlier in the season, well, you got what you needed out of week one. There wasn't a mistake. You know, he mentioned the fumble in preseason. They didn't fumble at this time where then you wonder if that's a setback for you trusting him. No, none of that happened. If anything, you feel even better about getting him the ball. And it's probably still going to be the first month of the season, or depending on how long Hollywood Brown is out, I don't think we're going to see many games where Worthy's getting like 6, 7, 8 touches a game. I think there will be plenty of games where it's in this 3 to 5 touch range.
Three to five. And that's fine, because what you want him to be is an explosive player when he touches the football, because eventually it will be more crowded. Travis Kelce will have a game where he's going to get more targets. Rashee Rice is obviously going to be a target monster the entire season. Hollywood's going to eat up some of that. The fact that they trusted Xavier Worthy to be out there for almost 70% of the snaps tells me something. Because every year we're always trying to guess, how confident are they in the player that they currently have, right? How confident are they to put that player out there and trust that he can do the job and do it well and all of these other things and can be trusted to actually handle that responsibility? Well, I mean, I'd have to go back through it, but I could tell you right now, I don't know that there was a single game before week like 10 last year that Rashee Rice got 70% of the snaps. And this is even without Hollywood Brown, he had more competition or the same competition than the one we just previously mentioned. So I'm guessing they already trust Xavier Worthy more than they did Rashee Rice going into his rookie year. And think about how much they rely on Rashee Rice now. I'm looking at it now. Let's see. He did not play. So
different spot on the field, but I hear you.
Xavier Worthy did not play, or Rashee Rice did not play 68% of the snaps until week 9. He played 31 his first game last year. 18, 51, 46, 30. And remember, they didn't have wide receivers. They didn't have wide receivers they trusted. They were just stuck in no man's land, and he did not play 68%, at least that number, until week 9. After that, he played pretty much that percentage or more the rest of the year.
Well, and I know that Hollywood being out impacts that, but
no question.
But I think, you know, going in, this is what I was asking for. This is what we were saying is when him being on the field, not necessarily getting the targets, but him being on the field that as much of a, he needs to be on the field because of what he showed you last night, is that whenever he has the ball in his hands, he can take it. He can take it to the house because he's that electrifying. I think that's the thing, that being able to see it in a regular season game in the moment, and, you know, not just in practice or in the preseason, being able to see it in real time, it just shows you, man, he is fast.
Yeah, it's confirmation of what we've always heard, we did see, as you said, at camp and obviously the combine time and all that, but to see it in game action, and not just against any team, against a really good Ravens team. I understand they didn't play their best, neither the Chiefs, but that's a Ravens team that's possibly going to win their division, still going to be one of the top teams in the AFC. That didn't change after last night. And for them to have that kind of success, remember that was the reverse in particular. That was part of, you know, the first 15 scripted plays too. So that was something I mean, as Worthy said, they did that in walkthroughs. Like they had that schemed up the entire week. So they were ready. They thought that was obviously an opportunity for them. And with that speed and perfect, I mean, it was perfect execution. Yes. The speed, and he gets the headline.
He gets 17 blockers.
He gets the headline, but they blocking was perfect down the field for him. And so, yeah, you cannot,
I don't know how many other players,
be any more, you know, you cannot be looking at Worthy and not be more and more excited after last night.
I don't know how many other players in the NFL score that touchdown, because there were blockers there, but I mean,
for him to get through,
I mean, only
he barely
him,
got touched, him, like I mean, yeah, one paw on him.
Him
maybe.
And Tyreek Hill, I don't know how many other people can just sift through everybody like that. Like, no, he didn't even get a hand on him. Yeah.
I'll say this. One other thing to say about the game last night. Lamar Jackson's not going to wait till week 5. If this is their plan on offense, I'll say Lamar Jackson is the only reason, the single reason, they even had a chance in that football game. He also might be part of the reason they lost at the end, but he's the only reason that they were even in that football game. Is their plan to have Lamar Jackson get hit by a defender 15 damn times in a game? I mean, that's why the Chiefs defense was spent at the end of the game, chasing his ass around the entire time. But is their plan to just have Lamar get killed? They had him run more than Derrick Henry yesterday. That can't be a good strategy.
Yeah, we're going to talk about the cornerbacks a little bit later on. I think that's a credit to what the Chiefs were doing down the field in their secondary. We had some questions there, and I think that there was really nothing vertical for that passing attack. Everything was dump offs and short, and then Lamar Jackson creating. And that's typically what he has done throughout his career as well. I know people will be critical at the very final sequence for Lamar, but he was great last night. He really was, and I know it's very easy to jump on his performance. But in terms of staying healthy, yeah, like I tweeted out something similar to what you were saying, Cody. It's like I you know, whatever, it doesn't matter what the week was, but like, yeah, if you think he's available week 12, he can't be playing like this, because I don't think his body holds up. Derrick Henry was brought in for a reason, and I know they want to protect him, but you can protect Derrick Henry for the playoff run, but if your quarterback isn't available, then it doesn't matter. It doesn't mean anything. So, and Derrick Henry, it's 1 week, but there were moments last night where you're watching Derrick Henry, you're like,
it didn't look quite fast.
Did he, is he a half step slower?
You can't be protecting your running back in week 1. Otherwise, just get a different running back. Find some dude off the street who's like 23 and a 7th round rookie. You can't protect running backs week 1.
I mean, Justice Hill was at time until Isaiah Likely kind of went nuts in the second half. Justice Hill was their leading receiver. I know people will be critical of Lamar. Give the Chiefs defense some credit. There was very little separate. Guys were not getting open.
Flowers,
guys,
and Bateman didn't kill him.
Nobody was getting open on the Baltimore Ravens side of things for much of that game. It really was Likely in the second half. They started to find some matchups, and obviously some linebackers that were matched up with him. It was a mismatch, to say the least, multiple times.
Nick Bowen got torched.
Yeah, but look, the Lamar thing will be something to watch, just in terms of the AFC picture and like his use, because he cannot get hit that much throughout the entire season.
Like they actually did like I think an actual counter, not like how many times he ran. I think he was hit by a defender 15 times. because Lamar wasn't, he was still having to get tackled. Goldie didn't just run out of bounds every time or slide down safely. He was getting hit. The Chiefs were punishing him a little bit for making those runs. He's the greatest running quarterback probably in NFL history. So obviously it's a weapon that they have to use. It would be silly not to use it. It's part of the reason he's a 2-time MVP. But they were out there just leaving him like a lamb for the slaughter to get hit.
Yeah.
Can I get hit that
amount? Him and Michael Vick.
913-586-7965. Someone says that wasn't the Ravens' plan. It was Lamar wanting to win the game so much. Oh, I agree. But that's the issue. If that's what he has to do in a lot of games, that's what we're saying. That could be problematic.
Sometimes he needs to be able to throw it to Flowers to win a game.
That could be problematic. But we'll see. I mean, Derrick Henry, it's one game, but was not impressed in game one. But I wonder if that's where you give the Chiefs defense. Let's not forget they were top five defense last year, guys. So maybe the defense deserves some credit for what they were able to do.
Senator from the text line said, why not keep using Keaton Mitchell? Well, he's out still. I mean, he's still recovering. He's still recovering from the. I think they missed him a little bit because he was so good down the stretch for them last year. Keaton Mitchell was Justice Hill filled that role a little bit, but Keaton Mitchell's very similar to Xavier Worthy, I think, in the fact that he's there. Other than Zay Flowers, he's another explosive player who ran a 4.2, 4.3, 40, and he's coming out of the backfield as opposed to just being a wide receiver. I mean, they missed him a little bit maybe last night.
For sure, but they're not going to have him for another month. And their next game next week is against the Raiders, but then they have the Cowboys, the Bills, and the Bengals.
Yeah.
3 of the next 4 weeks. I mean, their schedule's it's going to be a tough 5 first weeks for the Ravens. If they're going to right the ship, they're going to have to do it fast. They played a competitive game against the Chiefs last night. They weren't the better team. Like, we wake up this morning, there's nobody who watched.
Should have been up more, yes.
Yeah, by the time you get through that game, nobody watched that game and be like, I wonder who the better team was. It was the Chiefs. It was obviously the Chiefs for a huge chunk of that game. Ravens made it close because it's the NFL and a lot of games are close, but the better team was obviously Kansas City.
Somebody said Mark Andrews was quiet. That's because Isaiah Likely stole his job in real time, I think.
He might have.
We just witnessed Isaiah Likely, I think, taking tight end number one.
There's a chance. There's definitely a chance that happened for the Baltimore Ravens. All right, guys, up next, though, let's talk about the other wide receiver in Kansas City who, from the very first play, showed what we think we're probably going to see the entire season and why you should feel good about his potential numbers the rest of the way. We'll talk Rashee Rice next here.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever. And the worst part? Hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Porch rep.
Number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
I'm Cody Ingold.
Motion by Xavier Worthy. Humphrey ready to snap the ball. Pacheco will get it on a handoff. Waits for a block. Churning his feet. And they'll push him back. He'll gain only a half yard. And now second effort. Did they blow it dead? They did not. They couldn't bring down Pacheco. Touchdown, Kansas City. Play to the whistle or beyond it. And the Chiefs have six.
Mitch Holthus right here on 96.5 The Fan. That was the Isaiah Pacheco touchdown run. We'll hear from Mahomes a little bit later on because Mahomes went in there, gave an extra push, and
he about winning.
He acknowledged after the game that he was told once before never to do that, but he basically couldn't help himself. he's like, we were struggling in the red zone, couldn't help myself. We'll play some of that audio, talk more about that sequence from Isaiah Pacheco. I honestly thought that was where Carson Steele was going to get his first touchdown. I thought they were going to bring in Carson Steele from the 1 yard line, but it was Isaiah Pacheco.
You thought
Pacheco.
You were getting that Steele touchdown,
I
huh?
I really did, but we'll talk more about that sequence in a bit. Want to hear from you guys throughout the show here on a Victory Friday as the Chiefs start the season, of course, 1-0, feeling good after last night. A lot of reasons to feel good. You guys can text us 913-586-7965. A little bit later on today in the show, in the 1 o'clock hour, we have the fan club, Aaron Ladd from 41, going to join us in studio. We'll talk all things Chiefs with him. Plus, I got to ask about where his little Funko thing came. Did you see that he's got his own?
I didn't.
He's got his own.
It was very cool.
He's got his own Funko Pop.
Somebody sent him this, but I got to ask because you have to look at the photo. It looks like they put a pacifier on him, but I don't know. I'm very jealous that he has
his own
Funko Pop.
You could tell
it was facial hair, but it made it look like a pacifier.
It was weird because it wasn't like one of those things where somebody else was named Aaron Ladd and they happened to have it. Like it is.
I don't know.
I think it is Aaron.
No, I think it's some company. You know, they sent it to the station, or I don't know. Anyway, we'll talk to Aaron Ladd. We'll have some fun with him a little bit later on in the show. But let's talk about Rashee Rice. Let's talk about him. We led the show a little bit with Xavier Worthy.
Think it's safe to talk about Rashee.
But from the very first offensive snap, there was a clear effort to get the ball to Rashee Rice, and in between the hashes in particular, underneath routes, slants, they had no answer. The Ravens had no answer for Rashee Rice. Last night might be something we just got to get used to seeing on a fairly regular basis. 7 catches, 103 from Rice. Probably could have had a touchdown late if it wasn't for a really good play by the Baltimore defender. He was sensational last night. He's the number one receiver. We knew that, but we just got confirmation on that as well. Last year, we saw plenty of times where he would be successful in kind of these underneath slant routes. Looks like he's only gotten better. Like I know that Baltimore has to worry about so many weapons now, but now that that's on tape, if you're the Cincinnati Bengals who you play next week, this game, it was Rashee Rice. So are you going to worry about Rice on those underneath routes? Are you going to let Travis Kelce have some freedom? Good luck with that, too. Like, that's the beautiful thing about how it all played out last night. It was Rice getting all of that. Teams are going to have to decide between Rice and Kelce on these underneath routes.
He looked like prime Anquan Boldin last night. And I mean, like, I want you to remember how good of a player. Where you're like, how good was Anquan Boldin? Tremendous. He was a phenomenal player, as in he had, I don't know, 7 or 8 thousand-yard seasons, including his 1,300-yard rookie year and a 1,000-yard season when he was 34 years old. He looked like prime Anquan Boldin last night. He looked fantastic. I might have undersold him saying he was a 1,200-yard wide receiver, because if that's the version of Rashee Rice that they're going to get, you can understand that why the story coming out of training camp or out of the facility was, oh boy, do we love Rashee Rice and what he can do for this team this year. It is really obvious to see why you would feel that way about him right now, because last night he did everything.
He looked great.
Mostly it was in the middle of the field, but he got a couple on the outside too, and they're just doing the inside-out stuff. It's like playing the high-low in basketball. Hollywood Brown and Xavier Worthy down the road will run on the outside, and then here comes Rashee Rice to kill you in the middle.
Yeah, we know that's where he's going to live for the most part, is the underneath routes, and he's going to be a mess for defenses to figure out when you still know Travis Kelce patrols the middle of the field. And here's some of what Rashee Rice said in the locker room, because he gave Travis Kelce a ton of credit why he's having the success that he had last night, in particular, kind of in between the hashes.
Rashee, what made the connection between you and Patrick so effective tonight?
Practice. Just being able to come out and prepare for practice to not have mistakes or any errors.
What sort of statement do you feel like you and the Chiefs offense made after this one?
That we're not worried about last year. We're focused on what's going on right now.
Going up, a lot of it was just between the hash marks. Was that the game plan all along? And just how do you feel comfortable in that role, just working the hash marks?
I feel great, being able to maneuver in the middle, because you've got guys that's going to take the top off on the outside. So, I mean, I kind of get a little bit of Trav in there, and, you know, when Trav takes it over top, I can go into him. I'm just learning from Trav, to be honest, so that's where all that comes from.
How did you see it from Xavier today?
Speed. He's going to take the top off every time.
You guys won, you scored 27, but do you feel like you guys still left some points out there on the field?
100%. We left a lot of points out there, but, you know, that's what comes with the game, so that we can watch film and go back to practice and get on the drawing board and figure out how to get in the box.
You know, last year there wasn't a lot of explosiveness at times in the offense. You obviously had a lot of it tonight. How did you feel like that progressed throughout the summer and then turned into what we saw this year?
I think it had a lot to do with obviously preparing during the offseason, but adding guys to the roster to where you kind of make the defense worry about, you know, deep threats and, you know, under routes and stuff like that.
What were you thinking watching that last play, seeing it on the jumbotron?
Out of bounds.
So that was a little bit of Rashee Rice yesterday. Obviously, yeah, the play, everybody was asked about that in the locker room, just everybody's reaction to. Some players were super confident. They said that Isaiah likely was out of bounds, and others said they weren't sure at the time. But he said it over and over there, that clip, Cody. What everybody had hoped, which is that Worthy, eventually Hollywood Brown, all these guys are just going to make his life so much easier. Same with Travis's, and they're not getting beat up as much because teams are going to have to worry about the speed that exists.
Sure.
And this is only part of it because Brown's not even out there yet. That's why that was so successful last night. And it'll be interesting to see next week, because we know with Andy, there'll be a completely different game plan. But just, is that something that they're going to consistently do all season long? And if teams are going to say, we're not going to let you have it that easy, all right, well, then somebody else is going to be open. And that's the beautiful setup that it looks like they're going to have throughout this season, and why overall this offense, to me, and I think you agree, we all do, is back to being that explosive offense.
I think there's a reason why they were able to win the Super Bowl. And it's not just, oh, Mahomes can win with no good wide receivers at all. By the end of the season, that was straight up not true. He still had, in the playoffs, he had essentially prime Travis Kelce doing, future Hall of Famer type stuff. And then they had Rashee Rice. And by the end of the season, Rashee Rice was more or less this version of himself. And when he was this version of himself, he's kind of a dominant figure. He's a dominant guy who can go out there and make absolute noise for them. The part about this is, for whatever years they get Travis Kelce, that means, like, Juju came in for like 1 4-yard pass. I got perfect.
Yeah, but had a chance to catch one at the
had
one.
Had a chance to catch one at the one or a touchdown in that area and came up just short. But Rashee and Travis Kelce in the inside, Xavier Worthy and Holly Brown on the outside. It is hard not to imagine a world in which this is one of the league's best offenses, especially if Rashee's like this, they are. Because Pacheco's a top 10 running back. Travis Kelce's a top 3 tight end. I think he's the best tight end still. And then you're going to add in these other guys, that explosiveness from Xavier Worthy. But Rashee Rice looked like a completely different player than week 1 last year. He looked like a different player than week 10 last year. He looked like a number 1 wide receiver in the NFL. And again, I don't know if that can maintain for the entire year, but I saw Anquan Boldin when I watched him play last night. Where you're like, oh, you need 1,300 yards? Did I undersell you? Because you had given me the stat. Who was it who gave you the stat before the year? It said, no team has ever won the Super Bowl with their leading wide receiver being 34. And I told you that doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Because their leading wide receiver is going to be Rashee Rice.
I think it was Scott Kaxmar or whatever. Yeah. And he put out that, since basically the Super Bowl era or whatever. I don't have the exact stat in front of me, but it was something like that. 32 or older or something, leading your, or 34 and older, winning a Super Bowl, something like that, and leading your team receiving. That's never happened. But yeah, it's like Travis is probably not leading the team in receiving. I'm not willing to 100% say that's the case yet, just because it's very easy to do after Rice. Like,
you said, I thought like, it before, so like I'm not going to change my opinion now.
Yeah, and like obviously it's not, you know, you don't suddenly think Rice is having 1,700 yards just because he got 100 in game one. I know, you know, it doesn't work that way.
No, I don't think he's finished with 2,200 yards and setting an NFL record. But
yeah, but man, you got to be, I mean, you have to just be really, really excited with what you saw, knowing that this is far from the finished product too, versus last year, it's week one. You're like, oh boy, there's nobody that can get separation. You got a wide receiver that can't catch a football, that's putting the ball up in the air, leading to pick sixes and all that, versus now we're like, oh, this is the start of something special for many years to come for Worthy. Rashee Rice looks like a better receiver. They still don't even have Hollywood Brown out there. In this game, Travis Kelce was crucial in a different role. We know at some point, whether it's next week or not, Travis is going to have that buck 10 game.
He's probably going to have 8 for 170, you know, or 8 for, not 170, 8 for 89 next week, because they're going to be so focused on stopping Rashee Rice, that is being Cincinnati, that that'd be the case. I did see, by the way, no T. Higgins at practice today. Is your boy okay?
I think he was on the injury report for, I don't know, some minor thing.
Let's Cincy worry about their man. We don't care about them. Let's screw it. We'll worry about them next week.
I think Teal.
They are an eventual problem.
Next week, yeah.
I was gonna say, yeah, you guys are already looking ahead to next week.
It's easy when you're 1-0.
Their game's over.
I know, but not
today. But in general, yes, it actually makes more sense.
Enjoy the win against the Ravens. So yeah,
you're wearing your. We don't have the cameras up today, but we should just have the cameras on Drew rocking Cincy gear today.
Well, of course,
it's Orange Friday. Do they do that in Cincinnati?
Terrible.
I don't think they do anything like that. I know.
It's sound like you're getting arrested.
I know the Colts do.
Rounding up criminals or construction work. Orange Friday. We don't do any construction today. We pick up all the cones. You can just drive throughout the city of Cincinnati free and clear.
I would assume other cities do it. I know in Indy, they do Blue Friday, where everybody wears Colts gear. I would assume it's the same thing.
You've
in other
been
places.
To the city of Cincinnati or no?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just asking.
We used to go to Reds games growing up. I've been there multiple times. Kings Island is there. I've been to a Bengals game there.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I just found out that Scott Parks has never, even though he's a diehard Steelers fan, he's never been to Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I was surprised. Oh, man. I was surprised to hear that. So we played you what Rice had to say and what Worthy had to say after the game a little bit. What about in the Baltimore locker room and the Baltimore press conference room? Because, you know, it's like, that's a tough loss, right? Isaiah Likely, they think it's a touchdown. It's ruled a touchdown initially. He's wearing the shoe, which made the distinction pretty easy once you saw the replay.
It was clear.
He was out of bounds. Close, but he was out of bounds. Nobody should be disputing that, I thought. I thought after you saw the replay,
which
everybody...
first?
Let's hear from Lamar Jackson about that catch in particular.
I thought it was a touchdown. Still think it's a touchdown.
I don't know how you still thought that was a... That was a touchdown.
And it was pretty obvious.
Still thought it was a touchdown? Mm-hmm. The violin music really adds to the atmosphere of what
they
that eventually was.
Had Isaiah Likely himself after the game.
This is probably the worst game we're going to play all year. So this is the best that they got. I mean, good luck in the postseason.
Which that comment just honestly makes no sense. One, it wasn't the Chiefs' best, but as if the Chiefs have a history of not performing in the postseason.
We'll see in the postseason. You mean like 6 months ago? When we beat you on our way to our third Super Bowl?
It'd be one thing if there was a track record of a team being great in the regular season and losing in the postseason. Kind of sounds like sometimes like Baltimore. But the Chiefs, you know, have only gone to 7 AFC title games here recently. And obviously won a couple of weeks. So like the whole, they were salty after the game, which look, I'm not expecting them to be in a great mood, but some of the statements, I was actually really surprised with how the Ravens reacted in post game yesterday. And then Roquan Smith was asked about the play that was not called a late hit out of bounds on Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, he flopped. He flopped. That's why the referees didn't call it. It was a great no call by the ref, but whoever 88 is, I don't know who he is, but he better watch himself. He did a little slick push.
Was there somebody on the sideline that pushed you as well?
Yeah, whoever number 88 is. I have no idea who he is, but I'll see him when I see him.
Oh, my God. This is loser behavior. Are you kidding me? You lose your football game? I couldn't believe for a team that has, I don't know, some accomplishments. They've been in AFC title games. They've been a winning organization. They've been a winning football team. To go out sad like that, Lamar Jackson saying that Isaiah Likely's toe was a catch, that's crazy. Then you got Roquan Smith being like, he flopped.
He was talking before the game,
and I'm going to come off after who? Tony G? That's not even Hendershot's number.
88, there is.
There is no 88. Yeah. I think he was talking about Hendershot, so he's threatening him, I guess, all of a sudden?
There was somebody on, I don't know if it was Peyton, but there was somebody on the sideline that was not in uniform who was.
He's definitely talking about somebody in shorts as well.
Going out sad. This reminds me a lot of, I told you, Jacksonville, like 2018, 2019. They did this whole thing after a game, and they're like, oh, we're about, and we'll see you soon, and all this stuff. And that was it. They went quietly into thy good night after that thing. I don't think you could have handled a loss worse than their players last night. The excuses were flying. They were ready to just call the whole thing a hoax. Lamar Jackson's is maybe the most egregious. Lamar Jackson really wanted to be like, it's still a touchdown. I still think it's a touchdown. Did someone show you the video?
It's clearly not.
Somebody needed to show him the video before he stepped up on the podium. Look, I'm not expecting them to be in a great mood, but we didn't play our best. That better not be their best, or they're in trouble basically in the postseason. If there was no track record of Chiefs postseason success, it's obviously quite the opposite. Then okay, but like, it just doesn't even make any sense. But they know they don't have another crack at the Chiefs for at least 5 months or 4 months or whatever, and so that's what it is. They know that they honestly, considering how poorly they did play at times, the fact they had a chance to win a game and they thought for a half second they were forcing maybe overtime. If not, they're going to go for two, so win the game. That's what it is. I understand it, but it was just weird to have three different players kind of firing shots after losing.
They talked before Roquan Smith talking about, we're going to make them one dimensional team. And then Lamar saying, if my legs were good, we would have won the AFC championship.
Excuses.
It's embarrassingly bad.
That was weird for a winning organization. Really weird. Isaiah Likely was yelling and crying in the tunnel. What's with that tunnel and players coming down? Nick Sirianni, Isaiah Likely, it just seems like it's a never-ending cavalcade of this. I honestly thought it was embarrassing. I couldn't believe how poorly they handled the press after this. Consider just a week one loss. You don't have to let it bury you. Damn, that was bad. You know who had a really good game last night? After watching all of this, first I was surprised to see that he had gotten a 3-year extension before the game. Boy, Noah Gray really wanted to make him feel like they had paid him correctly right away. That one, for me, we spent a lot of time talking about potential extension candidates in the offseason for this team. I didn't see that one coming. And I'll be honest, it scares me a little because it could not feel more like Travis Kelce insurance if it tried. Like, we better have something at tight end 2 years from now, a year from now, whenever it may be, when Travis Kelce's no longer a member of this offense. That's what that felt like, right? Maybe he's just about to have a big breakout year. They've been talking Noah Gray up.
I think insurance is probably the right word to use. A 3-year, $18 million extension, $10.1 million fully guaranteed. Not a bad deal for someone that has been the number two tight end. We know he's well-liked in the locker room. The Chiefs really like him. He provides some flexibility. I think it's insurance. Let's say they three-peat this year, and that's the hope, of course. And then maybe Travis does decide, all right, this is it. I know he signed a 2-year extension or whatever, rework contract. But maybe he changes his mind with all the other opportunities. They want to ensure that they have Noah Gray locked up now to go with Jared Wiley and whoever going forward. Was I surprised that the extension happened? Yeah, I'm with you. I didn't expect that. But I wonder if it's the insurance aspect of it, just in case. Plus, I think they really just like his role on this team and how he fits in, and he's very well liked in the locker room.
Yeah, I mean, I do think that. But maybe they really do think that there's some real growth there. I told you I thought Noah Gray could be in for a contract year is undefeated situation. It didn't even matter. And I don't want to overblow three catches for 37 yards, in which he technically had more receiving yards than Travis Kelce last night. I'm not trying to overblow that, Noah Gray had a nice game. And I don't know what 37 yards a game over the course of a season would be. I'm sure it's like 600 or...
The real thing to keep an eye on would just be just how many snaps does he get throughout this. Last year, he played on 55% of the plays. All right, so is that about what he gets this year, or is it different?
Feels about right.
I haven't seen where what the percentage was last night yet between him and Wiley and Gray, and Kelce to see the exact breakdown. But last year, 55% of the snaps basically is what he played.
Well, I mean, it applies. We didn't ever apply it to him because we weren't really sure what factor of the offense he would be. But all the stuff we said about Worthy and Hollywood Brown applies to Noah Gray, but to another degree. Because in addition to that, if there are two tight ends on the field, which when Noah Gray's on the field, there are, which tight end do you think they're going to cover? Like, just real quick, which tight end do you think they're going to really put their focus on? Go back and watch that screen pass to Noah Gray, in which Travis Kelce did a great job lead blocking for him. But the reason why they left Noah Gray underneath open is Travis Kelce ran straight towards the goal line, Gold. He didn't start blocking until he was 15 yards down the field, taking all the attention away from the other tight end. Like, this goes back to the whole thing with depth and all these players and everything else. It's like everyone's job is easier if you're not exactly sure who might get the ball in that moment. And that's why Noah Gray's job is easier. Kudos to him. Feels like Travis Kelce insurance to me. Feels like they'd like to have a functional tight end who works in their offense, who they are comfortable with. In the off chance, they go and win their third Super Bowl, and then Travis Kelce tries to ride off into the sunset on, you know, horseback with his lady friend. I was trying to girlfriend.
Whatever. Taylor Swift?
Yeah.
It's his girlfriend.
Yeah. Girlfriend. You know, whatever. Like, you know. Oh, if he decides to do that, they'd like a tight end in the march.
And I saw there were screen. How many times people did?
I don't know.
What was the reaction?
Three, four. Normal amount. Yeah. There's always people that, like, somehow Taylor Swift's appearance ruins the game for them. I'll never understand it. Travis Kelce made a nice catch. And scan up to Taylor Swift. You know why? Because Travis Kelce pointed at her. So it kind of makes sense. If Patrick Mahomes pointed at his mom in the stands, they'd show her.
There were moments where Travis.
You're sitting next to Ed Kelce.
Travis made a play and they did not show. I think they only showed her three times maybe. Yeah. And there was another play too. Travis pulled off two defenders and Justin Watson was as wide open as possible for his only catch. By the way, Noah Gray, 37 yards would give him 629 on the year if he
I take that right now.
Averaged that for 17.
Ah, it's fun with week one to just look at the stats for week one and just, you know, extrapolate
it out. Yeah, because by that Patrick Mahomes would only finish with 17 passing touchdowns and 17
that's
picks.
That's right.
Terrible
and Rasheed Rice is having 1,700 yards. So perfect. We've got it figured out.
If only. And Xavier Worthy could finish with 34 touchdowns.
That's right. That's exactly how it's going to go. That will get you Rookie of the Year. I take back what I
34,
had to say.
Yeah, you know what? Back your Rookie of the Year conversation.
I still don't think he's winning Rookie of the Year, but you get 34 touchdowns, he's going to win Rookie
you
of the Year.
MVP with 34
you get
touchdowns.
34 touchdowns will get you Rookie of the Year. MVP will get you everything. First team All-Pro.
It's like that Sean Alexander year.
No,
34 touchdowns.
Yeah,
I don't think he's going
to
score that many.
Something tells me he will not get to 34 touchdowns. I don't know what it is. Up next, though, let's talk more about this defense. In particular, the story heading in was number two corner. Who's going to step up? I think one player did at times yesterday. We'll hear from him in the locker room. And the Royals have a huge series this week, and we'll briefly touch on them as the Twins are in town.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
it
taken care
forever,
of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
For a
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.